Yesterday, about 50 people from various Montezuma County nonprofits and government offices sat down to look at a bunch of graphs. It wasn't the first time and probably not the last, but these graphs were showing something many people find particularly important. That's data on children's poverty, healthcare, and access to education. It was compiled by a research and advocacy group called the Colorado Children's Campaign. It researches social issues and helps advise policymakers. Some members of that group are joining me now. Sarah Hughes is research director. Angelique Smith is outreach and policy events coordinator. And Katie Creedon is It's About Kids network manager. They all join me from the Colorado Children's Campaign here in the studios. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. I want to get started by talking about this survey. This is a Kids Count survey. And this year, it sounds like you were just focusing on something a little bit more specific called racial equity. And what have you described what that is?
Sure. Equity is often described as taking away barriers from those who are most affected and helping to elevate them so that everyone's on the same playing field. And racial equity is to combat some of the structural and institutional things in our history that have been put into place because of racial divides.
Okay, so that's talking about lines that have been formed via race. Can you talk about a few of those that,
sure,
that may still be in effect here in Colorado?
There are lots of things that are still affecting us here in Colorado. Some of those things are not as explicit, but there are definitely repercussions generationally, like some things like redlining that happened in Denver, where there were certain neighborhoods who were not allowed to get loans that the federal government was giving out to people who wanted to purchase homes, which is a great basis for wealth in families in Colorado, still is. And there are still barriers to that today. There are often families of color who struggle to receive funding help to purchase homes and set that basis for their family.
Talk about what are some trends you've noticed here in Montezuma County and in Dolores counties too. I should have mentioned earlier that there were people from Dolores County as well who were talking about this. What are some trends you noticed where those trends show up more specifically in this area?
So I think in Montezuma County, this community is facing a lot of the same issues that we see across the state. So children and families that are living in poverty, for example, who don't have the resources that they need to be able to make ends meet, or children who lack access to health coverage, for example. And we all know how important that is if your child falls off the swing set and has a broken arm and needs to go to the hospital, or even just for those everyday things like getting immunizations that all kids need at some point. Montezuma County struggles with those issues, and like many places, due to some of the policies that Angelique mentioned, things like poverty or access to health care often disproportionately affect families of color. And when we break down the data here in Montezuma County, we see that issues such as poverty or access to good education or access to health care often affect, for example, the Native population more so than they do the white children and families in this community. And that's something that we've highlighted for a long time in our Kids Count report. But what we wanted to do differently this year was really trace the roots of those disparities back to the things that initially caused them, so that when we're coming up with solutions, and in our case, policy solutions, we're really targeting those solutions at the problem that's really driving everything, if that makes sense.
So I think here it's one of the big challenges is that most of the roots of those disparities come from the original disparity that was white people moving into the area. Talk about how you approach such a big issue, you know, because, you know, it's what now we have, you know, white people and two Native American tribes, mm-hmm, as well as Hispanic people and various other demographics in the area. How do you unpack all that?
It's a big struggle, and it's something that can seem very daunting when you're taking it on. And, you know, we are not experts, the be-all and end-all experts on racial equity, and have a lot to learn ourselves. And so when we were putting this report together this year, we really wanted to rely on the wisdom of community members across the state of Colorado. And so we took our data and charts and graphs out to different communities. We did visit southwestern Colorado last year as part of one of these efforts, and we took the data to people people, and we asked them to share with us a little bit about their history and their family's history to really help us understand how we got to the place that we're in today. Because like you said, it does go back generations, many of these issues. And that was kind of our first step at getting a better understanding of what was contributing to a lot of this. And I think the only way to tackle it is to just kind of chip away at things one step at a time, because these are all really complex issues. They go back hundreds of years, and none of us in this room is personally responsible for those things that happen, but we are responsible for addressing them for the kids that are here now and for future generations. And so we've really been trying to think about what are those little steps that we can take as an organization, or that we can encourage communities to take to try to overcome some of these longstanding issues.
Most of the people you presented to here in Cortez were white. What impacts do the demographics of the people you share the data with have?
I think it definitely has an impact. I think the bottom line of all of this that we're trying to get across with this report is that race does matter. I think a lot of the time, a lot of us were taught, and this is radio, so you can't see, but I am a white woman. And I think a lot of us white people are taught to be colorblind and to not think about race and to not think about how it might influence the opportunities that we're given. And so I can't speak for the people who are in the room today, but for myself as a white woman, when I initially learned about all of this, it's kind of hard to hear, because you want to think about yourself as being a good person and a person who wouldn't treat anyone differently based on the color of their skin. And so when you hear about how a lot of these problems that we're seeing today are a result of racist actions in the past that were perpetrated by white folks like myself, it can be kind of hard to hear. And you can also feel a little bit helpless, I think, when thinking about how to address this. And so we're trying to hopefully with these presentations give people data and information and hopefully eventually tools to help take a little bit of that helplessness away.
And the conversation isn't for white audiences alone. It's not a message that, you know, you've got to right all of the wrongs. It's also for people of color. There have been things that have happened over centuries in our communities that we don't have language for, and that we don't know how to systemically make changes that can affect our communities. And so in order to better the future for Colorado's kids, it's important that we're all looking at the issue and all calling out where we can make changes.
Yeah, Angelique, I just want to note for our listeners, you are Black.
Yeah.
And what differences do you notice in how people of color process this data as to compared to how white people process this data?
I think that it's oftentimes comforting because it creates allies. It helps to kind of put the issues out on the table, and it takes away the stigma that communities of color don't appreciate the resources that are there or don't care about the same values. It kind of equals the playing field in showing that there were things in history that none of us now put into place, but they're affecting us. And it gives them language and allows the conversation to happen. And it builds allies and collaboration within the communities. And that's what we're really hoping to do, is that people start to talk to one another and to all sit at the table to kind of combat some of these things.
And I would say, this is Katie.
Want to bring you in the conversation as well.
Thank you. I would say one thing that we've learned in our own experience professionally, but also through the research and data that we found, is being explicit about this topic and conversation is what can contribute to making a difference. So we work with people who work with kids. So talking to kids from a very young age about race and not just assuming that they will absorb values, but also being really explicit about what has gone on, necessarily with kids, but in the community, and being able to talk about it like we're doing really does sort of start the conversation. So it may be hard, but that's what really makes an impact, is and having people at the table who are affected being able to share and sort of going from there as far as solutions.
That's Katie Creedon, Angelique Smith, and Sarah Hughes, all of the Colorado Children's Campaign, that recently finished compiling data for the 2016-2017 Kids Count Survey. Thank you all very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.